The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And fly right if you don't want me and you to fight. Straighten up and fly right, oh, I am getting out of here tonight.
Yeah, you take me from my mother's home. I was young and innocent, sweet as a plum, sweet as a plum. But look what you gon' do to me, make me lose my sanity. Oh, you no good bum, you dirty no good bum. You better straighten up
and fly right if you don't want me and you to fight. Straighten up and fly right, oh, I am getting out of here tonight.
Say you got plenty money and you did want spend it for the love of me, for the love of me. It turns out you's a cheapskate and the bills they must wait on my salary, measly salary. You better
straighten up and fly right if you don't want me and you to fight. Straighten up.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday the 15th of May 2026 and you are on the clock with Erin on the clock green. Look here, you see these guys, the second Davis administration, they say kick him with gas? What do young people they say? They move in with steam. They have not tarried. The prime minister was sworn in. I think the deputy prime minister was sworn in. Could somebody tell me, when did Chester Cooper become a viceroy? I don't know what it even means, right? But I see people using viceroy in all caps by his name. I just want to know what it means so that I, too, could figure out how to become a viceroy. I have a feeling that that's the gendered title for men. But whatever a viceroy is for women, that's what I would like to be, please, and thank you. And on that note, we're going to get rolling right away. I got a little housekeeping. I got a guest in studio, and then we're going to talk some headlines. So let's get started. I want to remind you guys of the show, Art Show, Polling Station. One show, two exhibitions. You got propaganda, and then you have the Feminist Standards for Governance display. The art show is at Pontiana Paper Press, number 12 Parkgate Road. The show is available Thursday through, viewings available Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, I would like to say good morning to whoever owns the red four-wheeler with the plate 1920. Whoever owns the red four-wheeler with the plate 1920. I want to say good morning to you because I know you wasn't driving that four-wheeler yesterday because the owner of that four-wheeler would not drive it in a manner that suggests that they don't care if it get break up or if they go to jail while riding it. Imagine, while the prime minister is being sworn in at Government House, right outside, you got some young man that's so desperate about his own financial survival, that he willing to get locked up right outside Government House. Imagine blowing people off a stop sign. Imagine blowing people off a blind stop sign. Imagine threatening the people who stopping at the stop sign because they stopped at the stop sign. Imagine all of that in your little poncho. Zoom, zoom in through town on your little scooter. Y'all really play too much with these motor vehicles. 1920. If that's your four-wheeler, go collect that, man. You know when we used to go to the dance as young children, and then they, at the end of the dance, they say, if you're the parent of so-and-so, you could come collect them from the police booth? Go collect your four-wheeler, man, please, and thank you. Now, also taking place this weekend on the island of Eleuthera, Naya Bingi House presents Empress Menen Earth Strong Celebration. It's a fashion show and tea party, Sunday the 17th of May, 2026, 3 p.m. Ticket costs $50. Location, Whales Point, Bottom Harbor, Eleuthera. Now, see, I'm an agriculture vendor, right? I sell and add value to local produce. And Eleuthera was one of my main lines, my main access to local produce. But then the Rastafarian community went to Eleuthera, right? And they set up camp, pun intended. And they have a thriving agricultural space. Just Naya Bingi, just Rastas alone. And then I realized the whole Eleuthera agricultural space had expanded and exploded, but the produce ain't coming to Nassau no more, right? This is good, maybe not for my Nassau belly, but this is good for Eleuthera people. Development, progress. As more and more people have moved back to Eleuthera and to Eleuthera, see the people on the ground building infrastructure. And one of those things is food supply, agriculture. And so in Eleuthera now, we say, bless up Naya Bingi. Sunday the 17th of May, Whales Point, Bottom Harbor, Eleuthera. You can reach out to Priest Marcus at 820-9948. That's 820-9948. Or Empress Philippa at 825-4145, 825-4145. The theme for the event is Empowering Women Through Rastafari. There'll be live entertainment by Bahamian artists, vegan food, vegan desserts and teas, honoring women in the community for their work and commitment to their communities, giving society a new perspective of Rastafarian life and culture. Empress Menen Earth Strong Celebration Fashion Show and Tea Party this Sunday, the 17th of May, 2026. Again, reach out to Priest Marcus at 820-9948 or Empress Philippa at 825-4145. I was unable to have them on before the event, but I'm going to have the House of Naya Bingi on. And the House of Rastafari had a booth at the Agribusiness Expo. They formed a cooperative. And they just doing amazing stuff. So I'm going to have them on shortly so we could talk about what they are doing. Now, joining me in studio today is Brittany Johnson. She is, now there's an acronym here, and it's impressive. NREMT, she's going to tell us what that means. She's the Secretary of the National Emergency Medical Services and also a member of EMS Bahamas Association. She'll give us a bit more details next week. In fact, Sunday marks the beginning of EMS week. Now, since the government got the ball rolling, we're going to get the ball rolling. Today, we're talking about one of our essential services. We're talking about what they do, how they do it, what they need to do, what needs to be done, and what we can expect for EMS week 2026. Good morning, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
How are you doing?
It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, too. Primarily because I made it on my own steam and I didn't need an ambulance to bring me here. This is very, very important. Now, Ms. Johnson, you're from the family island, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's a family island. I person I want to talk to about EMS services, right? Because family islanders are at a location in this environment that suggests that we should center them because they experience the lack of EMS services, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, they're some of the first people I want to talk to about this sector. The people who need it the most have the least access tend to be able to identify the majority of gaps. Well, Ms. Johnson, which island are you from?
I'm from Andros.
Oh, that's my people. Another good cousin. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's get started. The role and mission of EMS Bahamas Association. And tell, maybe not everybody knows what EMS means.
Well, EMS means Emergency Medical Services. Mm-hmm. And the role for the Emergency Medical Services Bahamas Association is actually to help enforce rules and regulations for EMTs and assist them with doing certain things that are required for EMS personnel.
Okay.
Like, people don't know that every 2 years, an EMT must go back and recertify again.
So, hold on. I could have spent 10 years in the field, but if I don't keep up on my certification, I could lose my certification.
Yes, you lose your certification if you don't refresh it every 2 years.
Okay.
First of all, to become an EMT, you must take the course and pass it.
Okay.
Because persons think that you can just jump in an ambulance and drive it.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that.
Okay.
You can just go there and pass the course in the Bahamas and you become an EMT. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You have to then take the course. And then the NREMT is actually the National Registry for Emergency Medical Technicians.
Okay.
And that's actually an exam that you do international.
All right.
And that's in Ohio State.
Okay.
And then once you finish that, passing that international exam, you then have to now register that certification in the United States. Once you're done doing that, then you come here to the Health Professional Council to get your license here in the Bahamas.
Okay.
In order for you to apply to be EMT.
Right. So you have to get the international certification, and then you come home with that certification and you go to the Health
Professional Council.
Okay. All right. This is because, like you say, people think, oh, you just put on an orange shade. I could drive car. I could drive ambulance.
I could drive standard shift.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. Because balancing on a hill in your bubbler is different from balancing on a hill with a 3-ton vehicle with moving parts inside.
And people inside of it that you're trying to give medical assistance to.
Yeah. Life-saving care.
Yes.
Too. All right. So, this sector is almost like Bahamas Air. Bahamas Air requires, like, you have a pilot and then you need to have a backup pilot just in case anything happens to the first string quarterback, right?
Yes.
And I'm just thinking, with the training requirements alone, you have to have a cadre of staff available so that you have sufficient staff on shift while other EMT professionals are recertifying.
Yes.
Yeah.
During the course of recertification, you do that while you're doing your shift. Most of the time when we get off, then we find a time to do our courses and classes then in between going back to our next shift.
Right. So, right, you don't take time off the job
no,
to prepare.
No.
You have to prepare while you're working.
We don't have enough EMTs in the Bahamas to do that, to give people time off to go and recertify and sit classes and stuff.
Here's another question. Who pays for this repetitive recertification?
The individual.
Do individuals receive any sort of compensation or incentive for self-funding the professional certification?
I can't answer that at this time, but not that I'm aware of. And
all
that's
right.
That's what the EMT Bahamas Association is actually trying to do and come together to do, to help assist EMTs in certain entities that we need to have done.
All right. So there is a sort of a less public or a private lobby that's going on between the association and the Ministry of Health and PHA. I imagine there is.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
But y'all are working on that.
Yeah, we're an association in working.
Yeah. But I think that would incentivize or encourage more people to take on the task, right?
Yes.
Could you give me a sense of what burnout is like? How quickly do people sort of come into the space and then the public space and then either retire or move into another profession entirely?
I can't say they do on a short turnaround time because some of my colleagues have been there since 1993.
All right.
One thing what I learned about doctors and EMT is, when you love what you do what you love.
All right.
And there's a sense of what we do that we take on every single day, no matter how tiring it was and how stressful and frustrated we are the day before,
mm-hmm.
when you go home and you come back fresh and ready to do it again, despite what you would have been through the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, you have to have a love for it and a yearning for it and a desire for it. Come back to do it the next day.
Mm-hmm. I have two nephews. One has passed away. Mm-hmm. They're both in this space. The nephew that passed away was born with a heart defect. And after his experience in the healthcare setting, he committed himself to giving back as much as he could, right? Back to the people who essentially saved his life. And because of the nature of his condition, he was in and out of ambulances. And so before he passed away, in fact, he passed away as an EMT in the United States of America. But like you say, it's a passion. It's a personal commitment to self and service.
Yes.
That drives people.
And I could relate to what he is saying, what he went through, because I came in it for a personal reason as well.
All right.
And back in 2020, my grandmother, I could distinctively remember on a WhatsApp call with her, and I'm looking at her and talking to her, and she didn't look right. And I'm telling my aunt and my mom, because all of us was on a video call, family group, and I said to her, I said, there's something wrong with mommy. She doesn't look right. And my aunt, but she's just on some medication on highly dosed. I said, no, something's not right. Put on the next flight tomorrow to send her into Nassau.
Yeah.
And when I got the call at 12:48 that next morning, and I saw my mom calling me before she even opened her mouth, I pick up the phone and says, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, because you can, and this, and they teach you this as well as an EMT course, the signs and symptoms, you can actually look at an individual and you can start to pick up that, hold on, something is not right, something is wrong.
Yeah.
So that's a desire that when you have something like that happen and you state the course because you want to make sure it don't happen to nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make sure that you can give to help support somebody else and save somebody else's life, even though you couldn't do it for yours or your family member.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, like I said, you have to love what you do and you do what you love.
So we know people don't get into this job for the pay, but is the pay worth it? And how can we lobby to ensure that EMT professionals, EMS professionals, are treated like essential services and vital services?
There is room for improvement all around, I must say. Persons still see us as just ambulance drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that when you jump in an ambulance, that's a trained and certified medic in the back there, a professional provider.
Mm-hmm.
They just see us a ride to the ride to
the hospital. Yeah.
So making the Bahamas in general aware of what EMS and EMTs are, and not just EMTs, because there are different levels to it.
All right.
You have EMT. You have an AEMT.
Oh, what's it? Assistant in...
An advanced emergency technician.
Okay.
And then you have a paramedic.
Okay.
So NREMT means I'm a nationally registered EMT. I can jump on a flight out of the Bahamas and go to the U.S. and still be acknowledged as a national registered
EMT. So you're almost like a traveling nurse. You can find work almost anywhere.
Yeah, because you're first registered in the United States.
Okay, see, guys, that's the indicator right there. That's when we begin to lobby, right? We say, oh, hold on. This is actually a well-sought-after skill set. These are well-sought-after professionals. We are at risk of losing them to a jurisdiction that can better compensate them if we don't step up our local compensation package.
Yeah.
So here's another question. What if I tell you, look here, I can't afford to pay you what you're worth, but I can make your job easier by focusing on the effective and efficient movement of ambulances through the island and through the country.
And that's something we would greatly appreciate. And we understand that. When you come to the table and you say to us, look, here's the deal. Let's lay the cards on the table.
Mm-hmm.
We can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But... like I said, there's room for improvement everywhere.
Right. Like, I think I am a traffic advocate. I could tell you right now off the break, I've observed or taken part in so many conversations where people question whether they actually have to give way to an emergency vehicle, right? Sometimes they say, well, that ain't no emergency vehicle. Oh, they was in an emergency mode. Oh, they had enough space to get around me. Oh, this is a two-lane road. Why they can't just be in the other lane, right, without understanding? Well, go on.
I've heard them all, every last one. Let me give you two scenarios. 2 years ago, we were running a call, me and my partner. Mm-hmm. We were, rolling, heading Prince Charles. And you're blowing them, you're on the mic telling them to move and asking them.
Hold on, you all have a mic? Because I bring my megaphone to lend you all.
Yeah, we have mics inside there where you'll hear us on the radio telling you to pull the car to the left or pull the car to the right so we could get clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And we reached the Prince Charles, in a particular area in Prince Charles. And when we reached there, we reached our home and we were tending to a patient. As we were about to carry the patient inside the ambulance, this vehicle pulled up. And she would have indicated to me while we were taking her family member, her mom actually, to the hospital. She said to me, I thought y'all was just playing around and running a call, not knowing I wasn't moving out of the way because my mom, and that was my mom, that y'all were going to go save.
Yeah.
So the very same person that you don't want to move out of the way for is the very same person, might be right, you pull up to your home and you may meet them at your home tending to one of your family members.
And I like this one because, like, in her mind, right, like, she going to her emergency.
Yes.
Not realizing that more skills to help trying to get to the same emergency.
Yes, and we've had many, many cases where the siren will be going off and be there for the longest blow and they just don't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
They And then I had another situation where one of my patients and relative came to me and said, I didn't realize how important you guys were until I sit in the back then watch what y'all did to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what y'all did to my cousin. Then one morning, I'll never forget this, me and my colleague, we came on to work for 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came on, we didn't even start preparing our unit yet. We got a call that we have a situation in Faith Gardens, I think that was, down by where Anatole Rogers School is.
The bottom of the island.
The last subdivision on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And we reached there, and the patient relative, because the patient had passed before we got there, we reached there at 8:06. So you can imagine the speed we're going at from University Boulevard in traffic to get to...
At 8 in the morning.
At 8 o'clock in the morning to get down by Anatole Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
We were going with some speed.
Yeah.
8:06, we jumped out the ambulance because we normally record all the time. The time we got the call, the time we leave, the time we arrive, and the time we leave from the patient house.
Yeah.
We reach there, and the woman says, what took y'all so long? She's already passed.
Yeah. Because the teleport machine was broken, ma'am. Not trying to be disrespectful, right? But the helicopter's in the shop.
Yeah, and, right? Like, how do you expect us to respond to a question like that when we just risked our lives
to
come to your family member and save your family member
life? Let's talk about risking lives. I found this article. EMTs provide immediate life-saving interventions. This is from last year, 20th of May, 2025. And it starts off by telling us about Adrian Archer, a veteran EMT practitioner who was dispatched to a home. He never anticipated he would end up trapped in that home after a man fleeing from his life from someone firing a weapon would run into the home where he was in the process of tending to a patient, right? Adrian Archer, who's also a singer?
No, he isn't. No.
Okay, because I figured that boy...
I'm well aware of who you're talking about. But
He could sing you back to health, man. We need him on the EMT team.
No.
But some of the things that EMT professionals face on the job, it's not just getting to the job and the risk of injury, damaging the vehicle, injuring themselves, other people being injured in the course of an accident, but there's also the risk that they take on when they're in a home, when they're in a community, right? When they're in a semi-private public space.
Well,
do y'all get bulletproof vests?
Yes, we do. half the time. I personally don't wear it because I only weigh a certain amount, and then
so the weight of the vest.
Yes, the first time I tried on one.
Yeah.
I got called. Me and my partner, much heavier than me, got called on a scene at a hotel where we had to come run for a patient, assist a patient, near drowning patient. And we're running on the sand in steel toe boots with our
with all the equipment, yeah.
And the equipment and a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
By the time as you reach there, you need an ambulance yourself.
No, no, listen, don't watch nothing. I know somebody.
I understand what you mean.
No, man, I know somebody who has, stated clearly a commitment to the relationship between them and the Bahamas. It's the U.S. The Ambassador Herschel Walker, you know, he's expressed this plainly, particularly in the healthcare space. We can find a way to get EMT the top of the line, lightweight, bulletproof vest. We got to figure something out. I gonna have a raffle or something. We can give the money to the Minister of National Security because they buy bulletproof vests. No, they have. I can't buy the bulletproof vests.
That's we have problem. Them. It's just the.
No, I'm gonna get you all a new set. The high tech set.
I saw them.
Some of them are lighter and much
thinner and lightweight.
Right, specific for that high pace activity. We could do it, man. We could do it because everybody has been touched by an EMS experience. Everybody knows somebody that either needed an ambulance for the course of saving their lives. They know someone who passed away because an ambulance wasn't available or the resources weren't available.
Yeah, I remember sometime last year, we had a situation on the beach, if you can recall.
Mm-hmm.
The drowning incident, I think it was on Goodman's Bay.
Yes.
We didn't get there in time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the public saw it, and they ridicule us on social media that, oh, if we did come there fast enough, or if we did do this, if we did do that, the person would have still been alive.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, this is why EMS Week is so important, because if you can make people aware of what you need to do or what you can do to assist until we get there,
mm-hmm.
we can save more lives. Absolutely. And that's our main goal and objective, to save lives.
All right. So let's talk about EMS Week, and then let's talk about what the public will learn at EMS Week, specific to that point. Like, am I a better community member if I take the time to do CPR training and some basic life skills, life-saving skills training, right? So that perhaps I can accommodate that sort of gap in time, which may just be 6 minutes, which may just be 10 minutes, which is reasonable understanding the traffic dynamic and the logistics, right? Getting from one side of the island to another. But maybe if I take on some skills, CPR, life-saving skills, I could accommodate it, right? But let's get into EMS Week, though, because it's starting on Sunday. Well, hold on. We got a call on the line, Ms. Johnson. Let's take this call, and then we're going to walk through EMS Week with the Bahamian public. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green, to you and your special guest.
Good morning, sir.
And I'm glad this topic came up also, because you and I always give you a little history. I remember back in the 1970s when we started playing American football for the fun every Sunday out on the Eastern Parade. On the northern side of Malcolm Park, Eastern Parade, I was playing defense, and upcoming from the left side was Whitney Rose as a running back, and I said, I ain't gonna let him pass me, and I went down to tackle him. And I thank the ambulance driver, we call him ambulance driver at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing I remember. The next thing I remember that Sunday, the next morning, waking up in intensive care.
Wow.
With my father standing over me, sucking my teeth, because we were out there playing this rough game with no proper training, no insurance, a young man just coming out of school and having a job at a Deltec banking.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally got back to work, Mr. Robert J. Trujillo the president of our department, cashiers, I mean, accounts department, said, are you going to play football or are you going to stay at Del Tech? I say, so I'm going to stay at Del Tech. That was the end of my football career.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to thank whoever that ambulance drivers was to get me down there on time. The next Sunday, two friends on another team ended up with both of them breaking their legs the same day at the same time, and they ended up in the hospital. So thanks to the ambulance drivers,
mm-hmm.
people, you all don't know how important they are, because you could be in the back there and don't even know where you is and where you're going.
Absolutely.
And Ms. Green,
yes, sir.
Can we get to the... let me go before this. My number, Ms. Green, 437-2072. 437-2072. Can we get together on planting these trees in these parks, Ms. Green?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Sparky. I had my own needed an ambulance situation, but didn't get an ambulance, right? Like, I needed an ambulance, but didn't really need an ambulance. I was able to get to the hospital. I also used to play sports, Sparky, and right after that accident where I jumped so high in the sky and blocked this guy, I had to stop playing basketball. I had a similar conversation. What you gonna do, Miss Green? You gonna fly in the sky like a basketball player? Or you're going to catch sense and stay on the ground? I caught sense and stayed on. Back, we're going to walk through EMS week, and we're going to talk about some more issues that EMT professionals are talking about. Health insurance for EMTs, advocacy and lobbying for their issues. And could I just have a raffle to buy an ambulance? Like, could I do that? I after the break. We can talk about that. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what's happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin. I ain't gonna break a bone no more, Green. Boy, I just trying to figure out how I could help the emergency medical services community by moderating my own behavior, measuring the risks, not being reckless, not being careless, being very careful, practicing empathy, being aware of the space that I occupy, right, so that we can reduce the number of needless accidents that are taking place in the country. And Ms. Johnson is joining me from NEMS, that's the National Emergency Medical Services, and EMS Bahamas Association. So let's walk through EMS Week 2026 with the theme, Improving Outcomes Together. Sunday, May the 17th, prayer and church service. Where are we meeting and what time?
We are meeting by Bahamas Harvest Church, and it's at 9:30, right here on JFK.
All right, Bahamas Harvest, 9:30, JFK.
Yes, and we're kicking off the week with giving thanks and praise.
Absolutely. When you don't
must
have,
give reverence first to the Almighty.
When you don't have professional health insurance, you must give praise and thanks.
To see another day.
Absolutely. All right. Any activities taking place after the church service? Is there a place you all like to meet or hang out?
We will be having a at the NEMS base, and that's the National Emergency Medical Services base on University Boulevard, where we are giving complimentary breakfast to the staffs.
Okay.
And making sure they're straight that day and starting them off with a good, beautiful day to launch us into the week for EMS week.
I can let the raccoons at Johnson Road Raccoon Clinic know. Free breakfast for them. All right, Monday, May the 18th, EMS Educational Showcase Day. What's that going to look like?
The EMTs get together and they go into the various schools around the community and the islands. Mm-hmm. And we try to teach the young personnel what to do in the event of an emergency and when to call for an ambulance. We also teach them the history of EMS and EMTs and how it was formed and formulated so they get an appreciation of where we've come from to where we are now. Mm-hmm. And we find that once you start teaching them and making them aware at an early age, then they become more aware when they get older and running around and playing the basketball or the soccer, you'll find that they'll be more cautious on
and
what
mindful,
they do and how they do it so they don't get injured. So we teach you how to help yourself in the time frame that we have to come to you to help you.
Okay, because I thought you all were going to be teaching EMTs, like when the people rowing you in the traffic, you're supposed to use the microphone and say, have you called your Grammy today? I could be going to save your Grammy. Relax.
No, we are teaching you as when you see Grammy there laying on the floor and you go then, Grammy, and what's wrong? And she doesn't respond. What to do? Call 911 and what to do and how to do it in order for you to try and save Grammy life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. This is good stuff. All right. So you're visiting the schools throughout New Providence to conduct educational showcases highlighting the history of EMS, emergency equipment displays, and public education for students. All right, Tuesday.
Tuesday, we're going to go, we're going around to different radio stations and podcasts, and we'll be doing the same thing, making the public aware of what to do and when to call 911. Mm-hmm. Don't call 911 if you got a headache, if you buck your toe.
Okay, but what if I've had a headache for 4 days?
If you go to have a headache for 4 days, you need to go to one of the clinic,
I got you. Okay.
Let them do a process of evaluation for you to see why you're having that headache, because you probably might not have been eating right or correctly during the week.
Or not drinking enough water in extreme
dehydration.
Heat, like in this heat wave.
Yes.
Okay.
So go to the clinic. And then if it's a need be, where is there an emergency?
The clinic will arrange for you to get to the
hospital. The
clinic
will contact us and say, come and get this patient in care. See, because persons think, again, like we just a ride to get to the hospital. That is a reason why they call us EMTs or EMS, because that word emergency, and a lot of persons don't know what an emergency is.
Right. And a lot of people don't understand that there's subjective and objective.
Correct.
When you're having an emergency, nothing else matters to you. Nothing could be more important than your needs right now. But for the EMS, there's a stratification, right? What is an emergency and what isn't an emergency? And so while you feel like everybody should stop doing what they're doing, EMT and the medical professionals have to weigh what you're experiencing against their chart of, right? And that determines.
Yes, correct.
I got you. Subjective versus objective.
Yes.
All right. So Wednesday, May the 20th, community outreach and health fair.
Okay, so Wednesday is the healthcare and the blood drive as well.
Okay.
So we'll be doing a community outreach where we'll be giving free breakfast to the public who attends. So you can come in, you can get your breakfast. We're also doing a health-free screening where you can get your blood glucose check and your pressure check. Mm-hmm. Make sure all those things are in order. And then we'll also have the PMH blood bank there. So you can donate blood as well.
Because you feed me so that I'll be strong enough to give blood. The last time I tried to give blood, the staff was very attentive, right? And they didn't believe me when I said, yeah, I had some breakfast. Like, they knew right away, you ain't had a real breakfast, miss. And we are concerned about whether you can actually give blood this morning.
Yes, that's correct. So that's why we'll be checking your glucose as well as your pressure as well, to make sure everything is in order and balanced so you can help donate that blood as well.
All right.
During that time, we'll also be doing a toy drive. And I'd like to invite the public to come out and just drop a toy in the box or drop a toiletry in the box. And this goes towards the Children's Emergency Hostel, actually.
All right, toys and toiletries.
Yeah, so toys and toiletry drive. And then once we're finished with that day, we're going to take it and we're going to donate the children's home around the community.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Toys and toiletries, because why? People need things. Basic, that's it.
Yes.
People need things. And young people need experiences that foster positive personal development.
Yes.
All right. So tell me what else is going to be taking place on Wednesday. You're going to have a bouncing castle, miss?
No, we're not going to have a bouncing castle.
But if one of y'all wanted to donate, like if you wanted to donate, say, 4 bouncing castle experiences for a children's home, right? So when they have birthdays, they could have a bouncing castle at their birthday party. You could donate that too, right?
If they want to donate it, then they can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, but you could donate a gift certificate or something.
Yes.
All right.
We'll facilitate them on giving out the donation.
I was really hoping y'all would have a bouncing castle so EMT could tell me how to use it properly so y'all don't have to come pick me up at the party.
Now, my thing is to use a bouncing castle is just go in and have fun.
That's what I tell them.
Yes.
They say, you're too old to have fun, Mom. Okay, so on that day, well, 2 notes I saw. The first is you guys have a special, you have a person who you want. I don't know how to word it properly.
Yeah, so we're trying to get as much O positive blood. There's a young lady inside Grand Bahama, actually. Her name is Valencia Wims.
Okay.
She's a cancer patient right now, and she's in desperate need of O-positive blood.
And O-positive is rare?
Yes, because when a different group can give to others, that one there can't or receive.
So right, they can only get their own.
Yeah, it has to be that particular one, and she's in urgent need of it right now. So her family would have reached out to us and so forth to ask us for assistance. So we're trying to see how much we can actually assist her.
Mm-hmm. If I were a web shop owner, I would create a fund so that I could incentivize people to give blood. I know you can't pay for blood, right? But I would figure out for the rarest of blood types. I mean, even if it's just a fund, even if it's just money for advertisements and promotions, we're looking for this, we need this type, we need this blood type, we need this blood type. So even if it doesn't go to the person who is donating it, right, how do we use our resources to make people more aware of the need?
That's actually a very good idea.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they should take that into consideration.
I mean, we should be putting that on the billboards, the lovely electronic billboards all over the place, except for when they become a hazard to drivers because they can't see. Other than that, right, let's put it up. We need O blood type. We need O blood type constantly. Miss John.
O positive.
O positive. Okay. I always positive. That's why I forget to say it. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes. When you say donate this O positive, You mean go to the blood bank, or you're all talking about a special?
Okay, so at any point in time, if you were able to go to the blood bank, PMH blood bank, mm-hmm. you can go and make that donation. But on Wednesday the 20th, there will be a PMH blood bank team out there, and there will be a special blood drive for that day.
Okay, because she's saying they need it urgently.
Yeah, if you could go right now.
Yeah, if you
go
could
right
go
now.
If, and this goes to Grand Bahama as well as New Providence. You can go to one of the various blood bank drive and just tell them I'm donating blood for this Valencia Wims, and they will take that blood and then they will allocate it for specifically for her.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to do it today, if not today, by tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Wednesday the 20th, community outreach and health fair will include free blood pressure checks, free glucose checks, and there will be a blood donation drive in collaboration with the PMH Blood Bank. And then don't forget the toy and toiletry drive for the Children's Emergency Hostel. On Thursday, there is the Stop the Bleed and Basic CPR training event.
Yes, that's a seminar that my colleagues them are hosting in collaboration with Doctors Hospital MTs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically to get the general public, in particularly the Bahamas Bikers Association that we've reached out to,
mm-hmm.
in reference to, in the event of an emergency or an incident, what to do there.
Yes.
You know, we don't want them to get hit off their bikes,
yes.
or in the road and having to block up traffic or wait until we get there. What you can do to assist us and until we get there, and you may be saving your own partner life.
Yeah. I would say, let's just talk about it for a second. Motorists, motorcyclists, scooterists,
yes.
right? These road users are more vulnerable to injury on the roadway. I want to say to y'all scooterists, though, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to accommodate you breaking the law.
No, not at right? all.
Right? Because y'all act like because you're more vulnerable to injury, I'm supposed to accommodate you breaking the law.
Well, I look at it like this. Let's not use them as the ones breaking the law. Let's say that you have an emergency situation that you're passing and you're on a motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the training that you would have been getting, you can actually say, I'm pulled to the side and say, let me render assistance to you.
Right. So you're saying, hey, mom, listen, don't just think we be out here just cutting movie
right.
and gallivanting. I ensure that I keep up with my certification training.
Correct.
Because on a scooter, I'm more mobile and I may be able to move through that backup traffic to get to
That's
the
correct.
Scene of the accident to assist in life-saving care.
Yes.
I like that perspective.
Yeah, so you actually becoming more of a necessity as well.
Yes.
Not just, and then you will take the mindset off the general public that, oh, y'all are speeding by on a motorbike and y'all just making noise on a motorbike. Yes, but I'm also certified in the event that there's an emergency. I can actually help you until help comes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm about.
That make me feel better by the boy who's right up the middle and then pull into my lane in front of me, right in front of me, and slow me down, cut me off, and I must accommodate you. I will accommodate you because you're a vulnerable road user. I will accommodate you because I don't want nobody to die on my watch, yeah. right? I will accommodate you because just because you're doing foolishness doesn't mean that I should increase the risk to your life.
Right.
Right? There you go. Okay, so Stop the Bleed and Basic CPR training seminar for members of the Bikers Association, Police Force, Defense Force, Customs, Immigration.
And if you're a member of the public and you want to be a part of it and you want to assist, you can just stop by the NEMS base and let us know. His name is Mr. Lightfoot. He is responsible for that.
All right. We're going to look for Mr. Lightfoot. Now, exactly where is the base?
The NEMS base or the EMT base is located right on University Boulevard, right next door to where CRO or CDU is.
Okay.
It's the old DHL building.
Oh, you're right there, tucked up there?
Yes.
Underneath the tree?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that beautiful tree right there.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yes.
All right. So close by.
Yes.
This is good stuff. And we're going to learn controlling severe bleeding until EMS arrives, performing basic CPR during emergencies, and assisting injured persons during critical situations while awaiting emergency responders.
Right.
Now, before we get to Friday and Saturday, let me get to some text. It says we need additional ambulances on every island. Well, guys, read this article that I found. You may find it interesting as well. Government looking to purchase 15 new ambulances, 18th of February, 2026. It talks a bit about BACSWAN, the new Bahamas Aviation Climate and Severe Weather Network, who's working with the government to provide EMS on the Family Islands, right? Another text says, good morning. I'd like to say thank you to the EMTs for assisting me in a timely fashion when I got shot. I was shot to the head, but clearly remember the EMT. This happened during rush hour traffic, and they got to me in record time. Thank you for your kindness during and after my trauma. This was 7 years ago, and that particular gentleman still remembers me and is genuinely interested in my progress. I wanted to say, what about the psychosocial services? Do you guys have, do you have a therapist group that offers services to EMT? How do you guys deal with what you go through on the job?
I asked that question no later than earlier this week, that it is very challenging, and I don't know how to do it. I mean, I'd be amazed at them some days, because you can imagine that going to this call where someone got shot, going to this call where you pronounce someone dead, going to this one where you had to save and rush this person's life, and then you do about four or five of these calls at one time, and all of this is still built up right there.
Mm-hmm. Here's another text. It says, Miss Green and Miss Johnson, I want to salute all categories of EMS technicians, especially my friend Travis Roll in Grand Bahama. We had a volunteer service called Trauma One in Abaco years ago when my mother was sick with cancer, and they showed up every time we called. They never demanded but suggested that anyone using the service make a small donation. The government should spare no resources when it comes to taking care of all the medical professionals in the Ministry of Health. Morning, Erin. MP for the Raccoons, them Green. That's my other name. It's O negative. That's the universal donor. Thank you, Texas. But here's what to do. Ms. Johnson, tell us, who do we call for more information? Do you have social media presence so people can look at the full calendar for EMS Week?
I don't think we do at this time, but you can call the NAM space.
All right.
I think the number is 322-3434.
322-3434, but you can go online, go to the Google and search NEMS, National Emergency Medical Services Base, for their contact number. I did a horrible job this morning, Ms. Johnson. I took you off your record. I know you always timely. And we just had
that's quite fine
conversation this morning. I want to say thank you very much for it. Emergency medical services technicians are essential and vital services in this country. Let's all take time to pay attention to them and what we can do to assist them in assisting others. Ms. Johnson, thank you. I have you back on after I come to this community outreach and health fair. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.